programs are underwriting sponsors of this station. The views expressed belong to its participants and are not necessarily those of the management and staff of KYT.
Get ready, get ready, and get ready. Don't touch that dial. Welcome to New Life Ministries broadcast. I'm Pastor Gregory Tenney of the Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust you will enjoy today's broadcast.
Welcome to G Smooth City, where you're a citizen, with your host, Pastor G Smooth Denny.
Good morning. For truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I want to take this opportunity to thank all of you that have made contributions to this ministry. For it is of great comfort and great support that you take the time and take the effort to send a contribution to this ministry. I want to also thank my pastor, Dr. Joshua Jordara, for just being himself. I pray that everything continue to prosper for him in every which way and in every manner. I also want to take the time to say to the Swafford family, to the Piper family, that God is there with you and he will always be there for you. And I want to say to Grace that God will not put any more on you than you can bear. And I'm just so thankful that I've had the opportunity of sharing and being the pastor to Sister Grace, and it's an honor that God has allotted me that opportunity. I say to the family that look to the hills which cometh your help, and know that your help, it comes from the Lord. I just want to take a few moments and just talk on the subject of a good shepherd's steps are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 17:5 says, from the International Version, my steps have held to your path and my feet have not stumbled. Psalms 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. My brothers and sisters, allowing God to order your steps comes only by faith in what is written by God. Hearing what is preached and accepting by faith that God's word is the only meaning to victory and success in reaching your destiny. When God calls you, it is a holy calling. When God calls you, it's not something that you can just wash away. Because when God calls you, it's a seal that will never leave you, nor will it forsake you. It's not a choice, but it is really an order. And when God gives you the order, he will hold you fast on your path. My brothers and sisters, know that when you're on God's path, you can never slip or fall. It's when you begin to stray away and get off the path that you begin to stumble and fall. You begin to slip, and it's very important that you as a saint never interfere with the pathway that God has given his people. Because I promise you that even though you may have been in a place or under certain auspices for 40 or 50 years, that it does not mean that you are in charge. Please hear me when I say that you are no match for God. And you don't want to cause the man of God or the children of God to make any detours, because God don't make detours. How many of you know God don't make detours? God don't go around anything. He just keep that straight and narrow path. And I promise to let you know that if you get in his way, he ain't heard me. He'll get you out of his way. And the problem with a lot of us is that we call ourselves standing in the way of prosperity. We try to stand in the way of the prosperity in the church. But let me tell you something. God ain't going to go around you. He'll just move you out of the way. Just like debris is moved, You are only debris. And you got to note, my brothers and sisters, that don't block your own blessings. Please understand that God has his hedge of protection around his chosen people. And you need to understand that in the midst of it all, you come to find that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And God is the key to prosperity. He is the key to the removal of any debris that stands in your way. And look, sometimes the debris is a disgruntled member. Sometimes the debris is an uncle or aunt or brother or sister. And sometimes it's your wife. I ain't going to have a friend in the world. But you got to know that even though they may stand in your way sometimes, you just keep walking that straight and narrow path. And guess what? God will turn everything around. He moves debris out of your life. And if you know anything about debris, look at Hurricane Katrina, and I don't know what the name of this other hurricane that came. I think it's Laura, a Delta came in and came in to destroy, to be destructive to the surrounding areas. But look what happened. Even in the midst of its destructiveness, debris was left behind. But guess what they're doing right now? They're moving debris out of the way. God don't have to wait. He moves debris in a twinkling of an eye. And I know you may get caught up into your feelings and your pride and has been stepped on, and you feel a sense of disrespect sometimes. Be careful. The things that you can do is talk to God. God can change everything. Talk to God for direction, because only God can fix it. Remember that when you stand against the children of God, the man of God, the people of God, you're not hurting God, you're hurting yourself. Because my brothers and sisters, ain't nothing you can do to hurt God. But let me just enlighten your heart. You don't want God's wrath to come upon you because of stupidity, because of ignorance, because of arrogance, because of pride, because of self-motivation, self-preservation. You don't want God's wrath to come upon you because of these things. We have enough going on in this society, in this country right now, that we're dealing with. And what we don't need to deal with is folk coming against the church. You know, a lot of times folk just don't realize that they really need the church. And I say that because, look, God dwells in the church, and the church, a true church of God, is a place that's clean, a place that you can set up refuge, a place that you can be healed, a place that you can find peace, a place that you can find comfort. But note that even though you may detour, your steps still can be ordered by the Lord. He can get off track. We can get off track sometimes, but God can put us on track. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we can stumble just like you. A man of God can, a child of God can stumble just like anybody else. But look, isn't it good to know that even in the midst of your stumbling, God can pick you up when you fall down? Anybody ever have fallen and God have picked you up? Anybody been on drugs? Had drug addiction and God picked you up? Anybody have been in an abusive relationship and God picked you up? Anybody have ever been let go from their job and God picked you up? God always picks you up when you fall down. But look, in order for him to touch bases with you in that common area, is that you got to have a relationship with the master. Psalms 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." And that is a true, those are true words, because when God is your shepherd, he supplies your every need. The 24th book of Psalms tells you that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. So he simply has the authority to do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants, and however he wants. But look at those who try to come against you in all kind of ways. He said in the 37th book of Psalms, "Fret not, you ain't heard me, thyself of evildoers, for they'll be cut off." God will make your enemy your footstool. And I know somebody out there can testify and know what I'm saying when they say God can make your enemy your footstool. Look at Job. Job's wife suggested to him to curse God, but Job stood firm on God's word. The devil sometimes uses those who are most closest to you to put debris in your path to cause you to detour. My brothers and sisters, I don't care who it is, if it's mother, father, sister, brother, honey, daddy, whoever you want to say, never let anybody come in between you and God. And even though the devil uses a woman sometime as an instrument to influence the fall of man and vice versa, God used a woman here to give us the greatest gift of all. And you ought to know what the greatest gift of all is. The greatest gift of all is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God placed Jesus in the belly of a woman and allowed God to nurture and get to its proper state, and then brought him out and delivered him to the world, and the world rejected him. You ain't heard me. But if you're one of those who are rejecting Jesus on a regular basis, I stop by to tell you, you have the opportunity to make things right. You got to stand tall for the Lord, my brother. Stand firm on his word. If he falls, he'll pick you up. And I want you to know that I say to all of you, whatever you do, spread the word of God. Stand firm, stand up, stand tall, and stand on his word, because your steps are or should be ordered by the Lord. So note, brothers and sisters, when I think about the goodness of God and all he's done for me, my soul, you ain't heard me, my soul, I have no doubt about giving my soul to the one who created me, and his name is Jesus. Remember, the 23rd Psalm will become effective in every way if you give your life to the Lord, because it says that when your steps are ordered by the Lord, he is your shepherd, and you shall not want. Note that we should be a peacemaker and not a problem. Be a bridge and not a barrier. Be a step and not stupid. And be some help and not hindrance. But my brothers and sisters, there is an order in everything that you do. And when you are ordered by God, ask God to order yourself. Behind every strong man, there's a strong woman. And you got to know that you got to be the head and not the tail. Remember, God wants to continue to bless you. He wants to continue to keep you. He wants to continue to lift you up. He wants to continue to shine his light upon you. And look, I'm so glad that it says, weeping may endure for a night, but you got to watch out now. Joy's going to come in the morning. Look, I'm so glad that you tune into this broadcast on this day. For note that this is the day that the Lord has made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. This is a ministry that where we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church, ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. You got to know that God wants you. Now, all of you that want to make a contribution to this ministry, you can make checks, money order, payable to Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church, and you can mail it to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. Or you can cash out it to $ Gregory Tennant, $ GREGORYTENNIE. And God will richly bless you. Thank you once again for tuning in. Thank you once again for standing firm. And thank you for standing tall in the word of God. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. You've just heard New Life Ministries of Second Nazarene Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria. 4800 Smith Avenue. Your love gifts and offerings are greatly appreciated. You can send all donations to 150 Browns Lane, Pineville, Louisiana, 71360. At Second Nazarene, we equip the saints, evangelize the sinner, and enhancing this society as one church ministering hope to four generations through the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll see you next time. Thank you, and may God bless you.
K-A-Y-T, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Thank you for joining us on the radio. My name is Pastor Grady Blackwell, First St. Mark Baptist Church. We're a church that's seeking the lost and lifting the found. So I just want you to know that I'm glad that you are here. Tell everybody that Grady Blackwell and the First St. Mark Baptist Church is on the air.
Grady Blackwell is on the air. We're so glad that you tune in. We just want to tell you just a little bit about First St. Mark, and we'll move on. Thank you again for tuning in to this radio station and this First St. Mark radio program. We have church every Sunday, and since they lifted the pandemic, since they lifted it somewhat, we're inviting everybody. Come on, we got plenty of room, so we're inviting you to come on the fifth Sunday. You know how it is on the fifth Sunday. We normally visit a church, and our doors are wide open waiting for you to come in. Our services start Sunday school at 10 o'clock, regular service at 11 o'clock, and on Monday we have celebrating sobriety. In other words, celebrating the clean time if you just happen to know somebody who's going through an addiction problem such as alcohol, a drug problem, then they can come every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m. That's every Monday. We look forward to you sending somebody that you know or maybe coming yourself. Don't be ashamed. Almost everybody that I know of that may not want to admit it got somebody in their family that are affected by alcohol and drugs. It could be prescription drugs, but they are affected some way. So we're open. You can come by or send somebody by on Mondays from 6 to 7. On Wednesday, we have midweek service. It starts at 6:30 and it ends at 7:30. So we invite you to come. We have a very good crowd that discuss the Bible. I always say that they bisect the Bible. They break the words down where even a baby almost could understand it. And I just enjoy it. I might miss Sunday, but I wouldn't want to miss the midweek service. 6:30 to 7:30. Looking forward to see you. Just come on in. 1624 Reed Avenue. That's where the church is located. And we love visitors. On Thursday morning, we have a prayer breakfast. We call it a community prayer breakfast. But it's designed for you. If you need a breakfast, it's a hot breakfast, grits, eggs, sausage. I mean, Pig Grill ain't got nothing on us on that, but it's a real good breakfast. We say a prayer, and we just bless the community with a free prayer breakfast, and we look forward to you attending our free prayer breakfast. It's just another service that First St. Mark have to try to help the community and help our church. So the time for that prayer breakfast is from like 7:30 right up until 9:30. So we look forward to you being at our prayer breakfast. So we ask that you continue to keep First St. Mark Baptist Church in prayer as we keep our whole community, our whole city in prayer also. We just thank you. Now, I would just want to say something that's been on my mind. I have to say it. I know we have a lot of problem in Alexander as far as, I call it black-on-black crime, black killing blacks. And it is. It's pretty bad. So we want to do something about it. Naturally, prayer is an important thing on whatever we do. Ain't nothing too big for God and nothing too small for God. So we just want to lift up the whole city in prayer on the crime and the violence and the murders and the killing that's taking place in our city. And we're not worried about pride and all that stuff. We're just worried about a human being life being taken. And not only a human being life been taken, but, you know, a lot of times it's stuff that's not reported because they're putting it on the back burner now because it doesn't make news. And when I talk about that, I'm talking about there's somebody is verbally assaulted. In other words, somebody's been talked about so bad in some of these households that it's worse than taking a beating. Some people are running around saying, the stuff I'm going through, I hope somebody would kill me. You know, I'm just telling like it is. Some people even thinking like that. And that's not reported. But, you know, somebody getting beat, spousal abuse, domestic disturbance, somebody getting kicked, stomped, beat, and some child seeing this, I'm talking about some child look like me, I'm talking about a black child, and he doesn't get any counseling or anything. And now, if we could go back 15 years, some of those people that seen some of this violence is having post-traumatic stress. In other words, they're showing some of the stuff now by killing each other. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just throwing something out there. One of the things I want to say, though, I want you to concentrate on training up your child now while you got a chance. In other words, we get our children before the world get our children. So we get them when they're young, so while they're young, 1 to 5 years old, let's train them. Let's train them up the way that God will have us train up our children. We have to chastise them, train them right from wrong. And they say when they grow, they won't depart from it. But that's what we need, because I just believe we have dropped the ball years ago and stopped training our children like God would have us to train our children. And sometimes we just let the TV or cartoon keep our children satisfied while we are doing something else. One of the things in the Bible, you know, and I'm gonna say this, and I know I haven't got much time. I always run out of time, but I got more time than I think. One of the things that God's word say, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And that's in Mark chapter 10, verse 14. It also said this. It said, chastise thy son where there is hope, and let not only thy soul spare his crime. That's in Proverbs, the 19th chapter, the 18th verse. He that spare his rod hates his child. In other words, if you don't chastise your child, you hate your child if you spare the rod. But he that loves him, chastise him. And all of this is, we can find it in Proverbs 13, chapter 24, verse. They say, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And I hope that you're in Proverbs, because it's 20 through 15. I'm not just jumping up saying something. I'm going right by what the Bible says. I want to say, look, the rod and reproof give wisdom. In other words, chastising a child, whipping a child, give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings mother to shame. In other words, if we love our children, we should chastise them. We should tell them that no means no, yes means yes. Because if you don't do that, a child could be ready to cross the street walking and you say, stop. If he doesn't, he or she doesn't obey you, they could step out in the traffic and get hit. So your child could be trained to say no or stop or get, you know, a shut up, whatever. It helps the child. It keeps the child from getting hurt. And if you love your child, then train up your child while they're young. I've had so many mothers that cry, I just can't do it. I love my child too much to spank him. I let him go in a corner and be quiet for a few minutes of punishment. You know, I would say how you punish your child is your business, and I'm going to still say that, but I was just quoting some of what the Bible says. That's all I was trying to do. But I know one thing. We get our children before the world get our children. If we could bring them the way God want us to bring up our children. And that's important to me, and I think that's important to you, and it's certainly important to the world that we live in. Because if our child is out of control and you wait until they get 15 or 16, you can't control them at that time. You could put them in an institution or jail or innocent home or some kind of place. You let the police try to correct them, and they don't do well on correcting our children. While we have at a young age to teach them God's way, this is the best way that I can tell that we can put a clamp on some of this black-on-black crime, or on some of these murders, or some of this killing. If somebody had did something like this in a more efficient way, then maybe we wouldn't be going through a problem as bad as we're going through now. Because these children now neglect from parents, from some of us, didn't take care of our children like we should have. We didn't chastise them. We didn't put a curfew on them. They kind of did what they wanted to do. And now some of us are really afraid of our children. Our children are 16 and 17 years old, and they come in and tell us what they want us to do and expect us to do it. We have no control. No, it used to not be like that, but it's like that now. And what I'm trying to do by talking and saying what I'm saying right now is I'm just trying to make it better for years to come. And all our children are not bad, because there's a lot of good children. But you know, I just want to tell you that you know just as well as I know, good children really don't get any praise. If you're real bad and do something bad, your name get in the newspaper, your name go on the radio and on TV. But if you just a good child or a good person, that don't make news. And people don't want to hear that. They want to hear something either real bad or extraordinary good. So what I want to say that you just have to be the parent, the mother and father that God is calling for in the last and evil days. And I just thank y'all for understanding that the nature of love, if we love our children, certainly would chastise them. Parents must recognize the difference between true love and sentiment. Natural human sentiment, often taken to be love, can be harmful if not submitted to wisdom. Love is not sentiment. That is, love is not simply the deep feeling we often have in association with those close to us. Such feeling can be, and often are, self-serving. Love is not an emotion at all. Love and the percent is goodwill toward and good doing for your fellow man. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This interest. That is, there are no thought of personal gain or personal loss in the act of love. One of the things, we don't want to get feeling associated with love. Love is action, showing that we care and feeling in our heart that we love our children. I thank God for the children. I thank God for the parents who try to raise their children the way God would want us to raise them. We thank God for all of you who tune in, tell somebody that First St. Mark Baptist Church and their pastor emeritus, Gregory Blackwell, is on the air. We thank you for tuning in. We ask that you would just continue to pray for blessing of First St. Mark Baptist Church, which is located 1624 Reed Avenue. If you have any questions, you can call 318-589-8129. May God forever